Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Portland mosquitoes turn aggressive, the Winklevoss twins drop their Facebook lawsuit, and a man is found guilty of killing his naked roommate with a platypus statue.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Thursday, June 23rd, 2011. A new, more aggressive species of mosquito is turning up across the Portland metro area and raising health concerns. Traps have been set at 150 sites across the county, including the Kennedy Community Garden, so experts can test the captured mosquitoes. Specifically, Multnomah County Vector Control will be searching for the rock pool mosquito, which is native to Asia and first discovered here 5 years ago. Experts believe the non-native species has been spreading, and now instead of just coming out at dusk, the especially aggressive mosquito has been feeding all day long. The biggest concern is that rock pool mosquitoes have been known to carry and spread the West Nile virus, dengue fever, and encephalitis. Carl Pierce, an ecologist with Multnomah County Public Health, said anything that sits in your backyard that can contain water is a potential habitat for those mosquitoes, so anything you can do to eliminate water in your backyard would really help us make sure these guys don't spread throughout the county.
This is not to be confused with the rock pile mosquito that just comes to your house and plays Nick Lowe songs.
Yes. A Nick Lowe reference. Very nice.
That's what I do. Thank you for joining us. It is, that was just for you. There was really no
because
one else.
Because I'm old.
I don't think
half
anyone.
Half the people are going, rock pile, Nick Lowe, what the hell is he talking
about? That was really
about?
Not even a 1% reference. It was just for one person. But it doesn't matter. It's the kind of show we do here. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, June 23rd, 2011. If you want to get this program later on the day via iTunes, you can do that. It's also available as a direct download as an MP3 here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. You can also take it with you on your mobile device if you like. That is at mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Later on this hour, entertainment news, also science in the march. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Olympic rowing twins and fine specimens of masculinity Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss have chosen not to appeal to the Supreme Court over a ruling that upheld their $65 million settlement with Facebook and founder Mark Zuckerberg. The Winklevoss twins agreed in 2008 to accept a cash-in-stock accord to resolve a dispute over whether Zuckerberg stole the idea for Facebook from the twins while attending Harvard University. The Winklevosses, along with fellow Harvard student Divya Narendra, claim that Zuckerberg ascended to internet fame and fortune with an idea for a social networking site that he stole from them. The brothers eventually backpedaled on the settlement, claiming that Facebook had withheld information from them, rendering the accord fraudulent. On April 11th, a San Francisco federal appeals court upheld the settlement. Although the twins had been planning to appeal that ruling, they submitted a filing yesterday saying that after careful consideration, they decided not to seek a Supreme Court intervention. One statement on Facebook reads, "We've considered this case closed for a long time, and we're pleased to see the other party now agrees."
I was going
to
ask, actually, if they had Facebook pages. That's a thing that I'm fascinated to know, of whether the Winklevoss twins, if either of them actually has a Facebook page.
Yeah, I believe that is actually the Facebook statement. That is what Facebook said, though, is we've considered this case closed for a long time, and we're pleased to see the other party now agrees.
Well, they just sort of, they gave them $65 million.
Yes, I know. And they were rich to begin with.
That's the other thing, is like, you know, it's just, honestly.
And they're handsome, and they're Olympic rowers.
I mean, I'm not saying if they feel
they're
like they're
Harvard.
Somehow morally entitled to more, it seems like they would not be making the money of it an issue. If they felt it was a moral issue, they would have just accepted. They would have accepted, you know, the initial settlement. This, I mean, unless they really honestly believe that Facebook was like cooking their books somehow, which, seems like if they believe that was actually the case, then they would. If you believe that there was actually financial or fiscal impropriety on Facebook's part, then you would continue to pursue it, because it's not like the Winklevoss twins or their family, it's not they don't have money to fight the case. I think this just, I think this indicates that it was probably just out of jackassery, and they finally decided just to pull the pin on that.
I can't imagine any situation ever that I would think to myself, $65 million is just not enough.
Yeah, no.
That's just not going to cover it.
No, no. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Here is Dawn Taylor.
City Hall's latest attempt to keep its open-air reservoirs uncovered has failed. The Environmental Protection Agency has told Portland that it has to cover its open-air reservoirs to avoid health risks related to drinking water. Recently, the feds gave states authority to enforce such rules, so Portland asked the state of Oregon for a waiver or variance on covering the water. Portland City Commissioner Randy Leonard, who oversees the Water Bureau, says the state's answer was no, and he takes that as the final answer. There is no such variance available for covering the reservoirs, so I think that pretty well settles the issue, he said.
Maybe we can get the Winklevoss twins to appeal on our behalf.
Advocates battling to keep reservoirs at Mount Tabor in their historic open-air condition promise to fight to keep the water uncovered.
See, that's what this is. It's not because it somehow isn't a health issue or safety issue. It's because they don't want to spoil the view from their windows.
Right. We like jogging there with our children in our giant SUV strollers.
Seriously.
On Sunday.
Which, by the way, includes... never mind. I was going to say includes extended members of my family, but that's okay. Yeah. I'm just saying, people in that neighborhood, that's totally what it is they want to be able to look out and take in the crisp morning day with a cupful of Sanka while watching ducks crap in my drinking water.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Thanks so much.
Meanwhile, on the other side of it, I immediately plot this whole thing in my head, because there was a thing about a year ago where they were talking about the city of Portland hired a consultant to tell them whether or not the Mount Tabor Reservoir should be covered. And the consultant immediately came back and said, yes, you need to cover that reservoir. The consultant, of course, was a company that builds covers for reservoirs.
That's hard to believe.
Who we paid.
I mean,
to tell us whether we needed a cover for the reservoir. So my immediate thought when I hear this is, they paid a guy to go pee in the reservoir, so now they're going to get the job. Like, they're going to get the city to pony up $50 million for a cover for the reservoir.
I don't doubt that you could pay a guy to pee in the reservoir. It just seems like you don't need to pay that guy, and you don't need to pay anybody else. You can just pay a guy in Ripple, you know?
Well,
I'm going to pay you in Thunderbird. How about you go over and just give it a whiz?
But you got to pay a guy enough that he'll say, no, it was completely my idea to whiz in the reservoir. No one paid me to do this. So, but that's me. I've always got the whole conspiracy thing going on in my head. So Floyd Jones, a Mount Tabor resident, says, what we need now is some leadership, either from the governor or the congressional delegation. The requirement is that we treat and cover to address contaminants that don't exist, or it's just an absurd rule. I don't know what that means.
The other thing is, I don't think that guy is actually drinking the water. Is the issue. I think there was somebody, now I may be wrong about this, but somebody sent me an email the other day that was talking about this is from the Bull Run reservoir that then feeds the Mount Tabor reservoir, which then feeds like my neighborhood. But I think they noted that if you live above a certain elevation in the Mount Tabor neighborhood itself, you actually don't drink from that reservoir because the water, something about the water, you know, essentially they're wanting to pump it down toward downtown, not back up toward where it came from. So it actually, you are not actually drinking from that water if you're in certain parts of the Mount Tabor neighborhood. So it's all well and good for you not to put a screen on it, so I'm just drinking, you know, eau de bum.
Yeah.
In the morning.
Bum pee and duck poop.
It's not like I haven't ingested a little whiz in my life. Who hasn't?
And it's good,
honestly,
for you. Really, it builds your immune system. It makes you strong in the long run.
This water has a crisp and golden taste to it. but it's just, didn't we figure out last week they don't even have a screen on it?
No,
like on the pipe where it all comes out.
No,
like there's not even a filter.
Apparently, it's they consider it already filtered when it's in the reservoir.
It's naturally filtered, like hams.
Well, I think it's filtered when it goes into the reservoir. It's just that when it goes from the reservoir to your house, there is no more filtering out of the. It doesn't go through another colander to get the chunky bits out.
It's filtered before it sits in a stagnant pool, like my, like every swimming pool you've ever seen during the autumn where it's just filled with green gunk and leaves.
It's not stagnant when the ducks swim in it. It stirs it up. It aerates it.
The occasional thrashing homeless person.
Yes. The occasional dead body kind of sinks and then rises back up, and it moves it all around.
So the Mount Tabor Reservoir is It's sort of so it's refreshed and moved the way that Wonka's chocolate fountain is refreshed and moved by Augustus Gloop.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Bossa Mob Boss James Whitey Bulger.
What? Here's what I heard. Bossa Mob Boss.
Boston Mob Boss.
Okay. I thought it was a dance.
The Bossa Mob Boss?
Yeah.
It's from The Lion King. Boston Mob Boss James Whitey Bulger was arrested in Los Angeles on Wednesday, 16 years after he went on the run from authorities and sparked an international manhunt. The FBI took Bulger, now 81, into custody without incident, along with his longtime girlfriend, Catherine Grieg, only days after the government launched its latest publicity campaign, asking the public for help finding him. The AP says that Bulger, who was an inspiration for the 2006 Scorsese film The Departed, is wanted for his alleged role in 19 murders. At one time, he provided information on a rival gang to the FBI, then fled in January 1995 when a former agent told him he was about to be indicted. The cozy relationship between Bulger and the FBI, along with the brutal nature of many of his alleged crimes, made his escape a high-profile embarrassment for federal authorities and earned him a spot next to Osama bin Laden on the FBI's most wanted list. Adding to the media frenzy around Bulger was the fact that his brother William was one of the most powerful politicians in Massachusetts and led the state Senate for 17 years. Bulger and Grieg are slated to make the first court appearance on Thursday, later today. He faces a slew of federal charges, including murder, narcotics distribution, extortion, and money laundering.
I've got some sound on him, actually, okay, that I'll hand you in just a second here. But so I wonder if that's a... And there must be a small, I mean, a very, very finite circle of people to whom you can brag about being next to Osama bin Laden on the most wanted list.
And really, part of it is about, like, the nature of his crimes, but the biggest reason was because he embarrassed the FBI so badly that it ended up being the situation where they would get these FBI guys close to him so that they could get information on him, and he would suss out that they were FBI guys and then, like, sort of bring them over to his side. And so then he just kept getting tipped off every time somebody was about to arrest him by the FBI guys that were assigned to find out about him.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about it, if you make the government look bad enough, I mean, what people I think sometimes don't realize is the government just has all the time and resources in the world, and they have a long, long memory. They have an institutional memory, I think, both figuratively and literally. And they'll spend, you know, like the next 65 years, you know, just trying to screw you if that's what it takes. Let me, I've got this sound that I think is probably the last, might be one of the last pages here. But, so he was the inspiration for which character in The Departed?
Jack Nicholson's character in
The
Departed.
Okay, so it was him and his brother who was what? Who was a senator?
Yeah, he was a senator in Massachusetts for 17 years.
Fantastic. You should look through there and look for the page that's labeled Whitey.
Whitey. There it is. So, FBI agent Richard Deslauriers says they tracked him down to Santa Monica, California, and Bulger, who's 81, didn't put up a fight.
I mean, how could you tell? I mean, what...
We have captured one of the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives, a man notorious in Boston and around the world.
Deslauriers says Bulger wasn't arrested.
Who says that?
Deslauriers. I don't know. You probably pronounce it Dolores, but it's Deslauriers. Says Bulger wasn't arrested by chance.
We followed every lead. We explored every possibility. And when those leads ran out, we did not sit back and wait for the phone to ring.
Oh, no.
See, that's two other things there. One, to touch back on the previous point, it doesn't matter if you're 93 years old. Well, it's like that Demjanjuk guy who's like, I don't know, he's like 99 and a half. And, they're still, I think they just, last month, this is the seventh trial or something. They finally convicted him of being like a Nazi death camp guard or something. Now, granted, you shouldn't be a Nazi death camp guard. But
probably
that's
not.
That's the sort of thing that they tend to. It's not just elephants that don't forget. That's also the government. Also, the idea that that they were having to clarify that he didn't put up much of a fight, he didn't struggle, and that they have no issue about coming for you when you're like 18, 9 years of age. In there are two other new cuts. There's a cut on our friend Anthony Weiner, and a. And they cut on our friend Mr. Boner.
So we got Boner and Wiener.
In the same pile.
In the pile.
There you go. Nice. Coming up later on this hour, we got your science on the march. Also, entertainment news. Next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program with a Cannibal Watch, Monkey Watch, and a Taser Watch. Also, the top five Weird Al Yankovic style parodies coming up next hour in the Rick Emerson Radio program. So those style parodies, original songs, not parodies, but parodies of a particular artist or performer's style or sound. That's a top five Weird Al Yankovic style parodies next hour. Here's Don Taylor.
An Alabama woman was arrested after she abandoned her three children at a gas station. A bolo was issued yesterday morning for the woman's vehicle in Mobile, Alabama. Later, after the bolo had been... she had abandoned the children. Here's the story. I'll see if I can get this straight. She abandoned her children at a gas station, and then troopers issued the bolo, the be on the lookout. Then later in the morning, I'm not sure when they... Okay, this is very badly written. At some point in the story, for some reason, they issued a bolo for her. Later that morning, she stopped at a gas station and handed her baby to a man and said she had to save the world. And then she ran into the woods.
Okay.
She was found yesterday afternoon by a volunteer firefighter. She was standing next to a mailbox wearing nothing but her underwear. The police found her blouse and skirt in the woods, and they have her in custody. Her children are ages 5, 2, and 9 months, and they are in custody.
There you go. You're listening to Legion of News. Fantastic. Excellent.
Here, hold my baby. I have to save the world. Wouldn't it be awesome if she really did?
Let's come back to that story later on. Maybe it'll make more sense.
Okay. I'll just... I don't think it will.
Probably
I
not.
Really don't.
It's a Thursday, isn't it?
It is. Okay. How can you tell?
All right.
Technology blog Daily Tech yesterday quoted an unnamed former Apple executive who said Apple plans to enter the television display market by the end of the year. Apple plans, he said, to blow Netflix and all those other guys away, unquote, with a console that would have Apple TV and iTunes built into it. The report says Apple plans to team up with an existing manufacturer to provide televisions that would be branded under the Apple name.
Now, don't they already have that? It's called a computer.
Yeah. He said, you'll go into an Apple retail store and be able to walk out with a TV. It's perfect. He said this under condition of anonymity.
So this is basically just going to sell you an iPad that you can stick on your wall.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I'm not downplaying the idea, but it doesn't seem... It seems like this is sort of your classic Apple, quote, leak slash announcement slash whatever, in that it's not that groundbreaking of an idea. It's a thing that I think already exists from other companies and probably doesn't really represent that much of a deviation from existing Apple products, but they are doing what Apple always does, which is framing it as a brand new product, a brand new invention, just like the iCloud thing. And it's a thing that has never before existed in the realm of all technology, and they're just giving you an iPad that has like a hook on the back of it.
Yeah. Yeah, an analyst with a...
I can display video games on it and the internet and television.
Well, and you'll probably have a remote, so you don't have to go up and, like, poke at it with your finger.
I have a remote for my laptop.
Yeah, there you go. In our view, said this analyst with Ticonderoga Securities, he said, the combination of Apple's powerful ecosystem, industrial design savvy, powerful brand, and ability to reinvent product categories... That's my favorite statement right
there.
That's
making stuff up.
Reinvent product categories.
Uh-huh.
Could make Apple a powerful force in the TV world in coming years. He said that on a trip to China last year, his firm was the first to uncover data points suggesting Apple planned to release a smart TV by the end of the year. Apple already makes an Apple TV device, which amid a string of recent successes such as the iPhone and iPad, has floundered by their standards. It was first introduced in 2007, and it's a box-like gadget that lets users stream web content. But even Apple CEO Steve Jobs was forced to acknowledge that Apple TV has never been a huge hit. In September, Apple slashed the price of it from $299 to $99, but even that hasn't made the service a household name. A move into television would likely keep Apple neck and neck with Google. Google TV is a similar product to the current Apple TV. And Google is also expected to expand its service by integrating with actual televisions.
By the way, hold on. I'm gonna fire this next soundbite via the remote control that operates my laptop. You ready?
Uh-huh.
We don't have any more time to waste.
Oh wait, wrong soundbite. I pressed the Boehner button by mistake. I have a remote control that fires John Boehner soundbites from anywhere on planet Earth. Wait, hold on. There we go. Look at that.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't that impressive?
Yeah.
It's brand new. I've reinvented the category right here in the studio.
And that's in case of what?
It's in case I become even lazier than I already am. And
yeah.
Clearly that Rubicon has been passed.
Your laptop is just far enough away you'd have to reach for it, and your phone is closer.
See? Didn't have to move, except for my thumb right there.
Okay.
Didn't even have to lean forward slightly. See, because normally I have to, you know, and I have to move that extra 6 inches, but now I just... This is more impressive if you're in the studio with me and you can see that I'm actually not moving anything but my thumb.
No, you're not. Well, you are kind of swaying back and forth like you're autistic.
That's just in time to the internal rhythm of Apple's technology breakthroughs.
I like, though, like you said, though, they leak this as some kind of secret information from an anonymous source. And then, of course, it gets reported as if it's like this huge deal. And at the end of the story, it's like, and it would be exactly the same as the thing that Google is making. And so now all these people at Google are going, oh, come on.
Yeah. Well,
we're already doing it.
That's what they call vaporware. That is just a product that doesn't actually exist that is announced solely to thwart somebody else from doing the same thing.
Yeah, this isn't a big deal. We're making that.
That's just like when a studio announces that they're getting ready to put a, you hear that a studio is going to be putting on a movie about the... A movie about like a talking brick of cheese that saves the world, and then but it's like as soon as DreamWorks hears that, they rush out a press release about they're working on a talking blob of Gouda that saves the planet, and that's solely to thwart the brick of cheese guys from putting any more money or marketing into their product. The only person I know who has Apple TV is Siegfried, and to be fair, he loves it. I mean, he's like over the moon about it. That doesn't change the fact that I don't know what it does. I don't know what it does. I don't know why I'd buy it. I don't know what I'd hook it to. I don't know if it hooks to my computer.
I think it's a lot like the Roku thing that Eric Snyder gave me that I couldn't get to work.
Does it hook to my television?
Yes.
Okay, it doesn't hook to my computer.
No, it hooks up to your television, and then but it has Wi-Fi capabilities, so basically it uses your Wi-Fi to stream stuff directly to your television.
It says, yes, Dawn, please, please keep talking about Apple so Rick can fap about it later. What do you mean later? Did I mention my remote control, sir? Yeah. All right.
A man who bashed his gay housemate to death with items including a platypus statue has been found guilty of murder for the second time by a Supreme Court jury in Australia, I believe. Yes, Australia. Melbourne man Aaron James Johnstone, 29, subjected Philip William Higgins, a 46-year-old openly gay man, to a protracted assault involving kicks, punches, and the use of an office chair before finally dropping the 8-kilogram statue of a platypus on his victim during the killing in September 2006. Johnstone, who appeared to be handling a string or rosary beads while he was facing the jury, may face a potential sentence of 18 to 20 years in prison. The jury had heard Johnstone, quote, lost it after a drunken Mr. Higgins walked naked into the room where Johnstone was and proposed oral sex. Johnstone, who pleaded not guilty to murder, had admitted to police he assaulted Mr. Higgins, but said he was angry at being propositioned and was himself grossly intoxicated at the time.
Well, I mean, even if it's not your bag, it seems like a compliment is a compliment.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever's proposing, that you get it on with them, it seems like that's one more thumbs up for your personal attractiveness.
I know, and it's like, what's wrong with just a polite no thank you?
No, I'd rather not. Thank you.
Yeah. What's with the punching and the kicking and the bashing with the platypus statue?
No, I really, whatever happened, I'm just going to watch the game.
Really, no, I'm good. Thanks.
Put your penis away.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. No, I really, I mean, if anybody, it doesn't matter how grossly hideous I might find them to be. They could just be covered in sores and weevils packing peanuts. If they go, hey, would you? I'd really enjoy having some sex with you. You go, well, that's still one more for me. You know, it's like somebody pressing the like button on my own.
Even if you don't want to, there's this part of you that just goes, well, of course you do, because I'm awesome.
I mean, just look at me. Hey. Yeah, don't beat a guy with a platypus statue or anything else. It's wrong.
Yeah.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We have Cannibal Watch, Monkey Watch, Taser Watch coming up today. Also, the Tom 5 Weird Al Yankovic style parodies. It's all coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do our science news.
Here's your science news brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them by going to SquiresElectric.com or calling 503-252-1609. Speaking of hitting the like button, you can find out more about them by going to facebook.com/SquiresElectric. That is facebook.com/SquiresElectric. Sorry, that's me. I managed to
kick... The science went away. What did you do with all the science?
I turned off all the science. It's my... It's funny how even the most advanced technology can be thwarted if I kick out the plug from the side of the thing from which the sound is emanating.
Yes.
There really hasn't been. There really hasn't. I could. I have a remote control that actually goes through time and space to fire the current affair sound effect, which itself hasn't existed since like 1989. And yet, if I just move to the left and my foot steps on this cable, all the sound stops happening because I pulled out the cord. What was I just saying? Ah, Squires Electric. So you can go to Facebook.com. You can press the like button.
You were talking about people who know what to do with wires.
That's the thing. And then they will come to your house and they will not only not remove the cables, they'll actually put the cables back and they'll know which ones need to... And they'll know how to secure them so that idiots can't come along and, you know, unplug something that powers the entire joint.
They'll make sure your science doesn't all go away.
We always... if it has to do with wires or wiring, you've just seen exactly what I'm talking about. They can make your life easier really by not having me come do it, or you, or anyone who is like us. So the difference between Squires Electric and most people is that they look at the big jumble of entangle of wires and cords and cables in your basement, and it doesn't just seem like an invitation to their own demise.
Well, unless there's a snake.
Unless there's a snake. So you can find out more about them at SquiresElectric.com or Facebook.com/SquiresElectric. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, or perhaps here they can make your life easier, they are Squires Electric. Here's your science on the march.
In the unfolding story of China's ultrasonic frogs, it appears that females cannot hear the high-frequency zest of their own flirtations. The concave-eared frogs were reported in 2006 to court using chirps using high squeak components that carried above the low roar of mountain streams where the frogs live. Research showed that males' ears may have adapted to such high serenades. Now tests of female response to recordings as well, as measurements of female brain reaction suggest that during evolution, females have come to make but not hear the ultrasonic component of their own chirping.
Is this like idiot girls who can't hear their own baby talk?
Yes, okay. That's exactly it. And so the male frogs, they go, hey, wait a minute, what's that? That's awesome. And they come right. And then, but when the frogs are trying to talk to, they're going, what? Yeah. What? I'm sorry, sister, what?
Okay.
And I can't hear you.
That would explain a whole lot. It would explain why a girl never knows how irritating she is. And she's going, but I need a new pair of Uggs. And the guy's just going, I don't need this.
There was a girl like that when I had breakfast with Patrick in a restaurant Sunday morning. And she just wouldn't shut up. She was like three tables away. And it was just one of those things, you know, just going. And then I went away for a week with Jenny and Dean was there. And oh, my God, it was awesome. And then I'm just pointing at that. And then I hear her, I swear to God, trying to explain the plot of the latest Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And he's a pirate. And then there's like a monster. And it's like, and I'm just going, I just want to. And she, and for like the hour and a half we were there, she never stopped talking.
Now, you know, so now you are like the male bullfrog. You are the rare frog that can also hear what you're saying. But she herself, oblivious to it,
yes,
can't hear it at all.
Unable to hear it.
Seriously, I won't mention her name, but when I worked at the intercom, there was a woman and a nice girl. I mean, she seemed nice and you know, reasonably intelligent. But she did that thing whenever she was talking to older men or men that were somehow above her in the company hierarchy, she would put on the baby talk.
Oh, God.
Because I think she felt that like it made her alluring or sexy. And it doesn't do any of those things. It immediately puts you in the category of people we are never going to take seriously ever about anything at all. Especially because she would switch it on and off. But I think that people who do that just have no sense. The people who have any other linguistic tick, they just have no sense of like how irritating it actually is, because they just don't. It's like not being able to sense one's own terrible body odor.
Yes. What the world needs is more dead trees, an international research team suggests.
Done and done.
In an upcoming issue of Frontiers in Ecology and the Environment.
Wait, hold on. I can handle that right now.
Kill a tree. There you go. Thank you.
It's a blank piece of paper. Nothing even on it. Yeah. All right.
The researchers analyzed data from North and South America and Eurasia to see how birds that nest in cavities find their homes. Most of these species can't gouge out their own snuggeries, and the new analysis suggests that there are geographical differences in how the birds find suitable holes. In North America, some 77% of nesting cavities come from excavator birds such as woodpeckers.
They can't gouge out their own snuggeries, but we're not then sure how they compensate by finding holes.
Right.
Okay.
Tell you how many times I wish I could gouge out my own snuggeries.
Because finding holes is sometimes easy, but sometimes not.
Preserving cavity nesting birds will require preserving both the hole-making birds and old trees that non-avian forces, such as fungi, fire, and general falling apart, can turn into homes.
Oh, I see. So they're birds who are just squatters.
Pretty much, yeah.
They come along and they go, hey, guy made a hole for me here. That's great. I guess I'll live here.
Right.
Okay.
And then if you don't have the hole-making birds, you don't have the holes for the birds that live in the hole.
So if you're not a, so if you're not like a woodpecker or some bird that can like dig out a place to live, you got to come by and wait for somebody else to move out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of like the meerkats living in the termite mounds.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. When a female cleaner fish cheats on the job, her male partner's protests vary depending on whether she ruined a chance at scoring big. Cleaner fish, sometimes in pairs, nibble at parasites on bigger fish. Cleaners would actually prefer to nibble the client's mucus, but a cleaner that bites a client sends it darting off. Experiments that find that male cleaners chase and nip at a female partner more severely if she scares away a bigger fish. Males are also rougher on big females, partly because a large female can change sex and become her former partner's competitor. This all in a team.
Are we still talking about snuggeries?
No, now we're talking about cleaner fish.
Okay, just checking.
They're little fish that they live by eating the bacteria and the parasites and stuff off of other fish.
Oh, they're like pilot fish.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they found that the male fish will bully female fish who get a little too aggressive if they bite the client fish.
Because you're going to scare him away.
It's like, God damn it, Jane.
Yeah. Okay.
Calm down. And also, they will be mean to bigger females because they can change gender, and so the big female fish could eventually become an alpha male, and so they will actually be mean to the big women.
I feel
fish.
Like I'm failing so spectacularly here because the jokes are just sitting there and I can't see them.
A new study says that one of the benefits of global warming, fewer deaths from the combination of extreme heat and cold, may eventually melt away in Europe. For years, scientists figured that with global warming, there are fewer overall temperature-related deaths than when those from heat waves and cold snaps are combined. The increase in heat wave deaths during hotter spells is more than offset by reduced cold deaths in milder winters. But a new study in Europe found that around 2040, the increase in heat deaths will likely outweigh the reduction in cold deaths. The study suggests that by 2070, global warming may cause 15,000 more temperature-related deaths a year in Europe, which has less air conditioning than in the United
States.
And
where people are, by the way, not smart enough to go inside or just, you know, go to the movies.
Well, here's the thing. Don't you think that between 2040 and 2070, when it's just getting hotter and hotter and hotter, the people in Europe might actually buy air conditioners?
No, that would ruin their sense of continental smugness.
The study released Tuesday by Nature Communications looks only at deaths from heat and cold, not increases from flooding, droughts, and storms. It used computer models to analyze the climate under global warming and compares those to death rates in 200 separate regions of Europe.
It seems like we ought to be investing in companies that manufacture air conditioning right now. I mean, really, that's the thing. Because I've just been putting all my money into those companies that sell, like, cigarettes to Asians. But clearly, the next big thing is air conditioners to French or whatever, you know, whatever they end up calling it.
Yeah, Italy. Italy apparently is going to be especially hard hit by this. So start investing all your money in Italian air conditioning companies.
Because every summer there's that whole thing about a whole bunch of people who ignored all the warnings about going inside when it's 500 degrees, out in the open air, have died. There's that huge... Every year there's a big swath of heat deaths that come, and they're always in places where the authorities have been saying forever, like, maybe take a bath at some point today, and maybe don't you know, dress sparingly. And then, you know, and you'll
get
just,
a fan.
Then they just, you know, cut to the streets of Venice where there's just people lying deep, you know, dead three deep everywhere. So, all right, air conditioning.
That's all the science.
There you go. There's your Science of the March for Thursday, June 23rd, 2011. Thank you for coming by and listening to that, as well as your entertainment news, which is coming up later on this hour. If you miss any part of this program, you can get the whole thing later on the day via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. Next hour at rickemersonshow.com. The Rick Emerson Radio Program featuring a Cannibal Watch, Monkey Watch, Taser Watch, and the top five Weird Al Yankovic style parodies. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
And you know what it means when we have a Monkey Watch? That means I get to hear you make a monkey noise.
No, because I have the monkey watch. Oh. You sent it to me, remember?
Oh, okay. That's right. Damn
it. Ah, Sherrod, you are.
It's official. Former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner's run in Congress is over. A letter from the New York Secretary of State was read publicly today in the House of Representatives.
Let's see.
As New York's State Secretary of State, I have received the resignation of Anthony D. Weiner as New York's 9th Congressional District Representative.
Anthony D. Weiner. I didn't know his middle initial was D. That makes it much better. Because then it's like a sort of a mob name, but like porn style.
An employee of Bed Bath & Beyond in a Delaware shopping center reported to police on June 5th that a package containing human vomit was left in the parking lot there. He estimated that about 35 pounds of vomit was in the package discovered June 5th, and stated the similar package was left in the same spot the week before.
Well, you got to leave your vomit somewhere. When you say package, what do you mean?
I'm not really sure. It says the package was concealed in a white kitchen trash bag and placed about 10 parking rows from the store behind a tree.
So it wasn't just a bag full of vomit. It was a bag that contained a package of vomit.
Yes.
I'm picturing, of course, like a Julie Andrews style, you know, like a brown paper package tied up with string.
Yeah,
but then filled with vomit.
Right. Except it was probably more like a Tupperware container or something.
One of those
really.
Lock and lock containers. Yeah. That's really what you would want to put your vomit in.
Radnor police redacted information that describes what the hidden package was because there's specific information on the package that's being used in the investigation. Like a piece of tape that says, save for Joni, you know, or something.
Are there a lot of different vomit package stories filling the news, and we got to try to... They're holding back information so they can figure out exactly who this particular lever of vomit might be?
Well, because, you know, all of the hundreds of calls that are coming into the tip line.
And my cousin likes to leave vomit everywhere. His name is Ted, and he's no good.
Police said there have not been any other similar incidents since.
Then why not just tell us what the... Oh, see, and you know, the thing is, they'll never do... Even once they catch the guy and put him away... They will never remember to fill in the blanks for us and tell us exactly what the vomit package was.
I know.
Bastards. God damn. Not a world of men.
No. Bipartisan debt negotiations stall on Capitol Hill. Lawmakers are trying to reach an agreement on extending the debt ceiling before the deadline in early August. But House Speaker John Boehner says the GOP majority in the House can't support any compromise that includes a tax hike.
We don't have any more time to waste.
No.
And I want to reiterate that we will not agree to the president's request to increase the debt limit without serious spending cuts and reforms to the way we spend the American people's money.
Yeah, yeah. He says something about frustration. GOP leadership won't agree to any plan that includes tax increases.
The American people don't want us to raise taxes. They know that we've got a spending problem. That's why Republicans passed a budget that pays down debt over time without raising taxes.
You know what he kind of sounds like? He sounds like that family in South Park that had the butt faces.
Yeah, he does.
And it was just like a tongue sticking out of the butt.
Yeah.
The American people don't want us to raise taxes.
I take myself seriously.
Okay.
Imagine how he's... That's exactly probably how his kids make fun of him all the time, too. No, you can't have the car this weekend. Why were you out so late? I hate my dad. County commissioners in Manatee County, Florida, will return from their summer breaks to a safer meeting room. At the request of some of the commissioners, the desk located in commission chambers will be turned bulletproof. That is one part of a $30,000 renovation project that will happen to the meeting room over the next couple of weeks.
Is there a big call for that? Was there an incident of some kind?
I guess a gunman opened fire on the Panama City school board.
Is this that the video we had where the guy was like on YouTube and the woman tried to take him down by like swinging the purse at him?
I think it might be. Or not. But there was a guy, in December of last year, he opened fire on a school board meeting and then turned the gun on himself.
Okay.
And so the county commissioner's going, well, we're more important than school board members. What if someone tried to shoot us?
I wonder if this just indicates that they know they're about to pass some form of unpopular legislation.
I know. They just know everyone hates them.
And
it's Florida, so they're all corrupt as hell.
God, that thing where we're going to charge $12 an hour for parking isn't going to be very popular. Let's get some bulletproofing in here now before we do that.
So, and also in Manatee County, there are rarely sheriff's deputies attending the county commission meetings unless a controversial issue is being discussed. So commissioners decided that their desk needed to be bulletproof.
Okay.
Commissioner Carol Whitmore said, this isn't a lot of money to make sure the government has a safe environment for the people who are making policy decisions in Manatee County. Things are different nowadays. You have to take safety precautions.
It's just an acknowledgement that your constituents are always just one bad day away from opening fire on you with automatic weapons.
Yeah. They thought about installing metal detectors, but that would have cost more than making the desk bulletproof and probably just didn't seem as cool.
No, it doesn't. And it's like, you know, the only other alternative is to just do that, you know, is to do the Pope Mobile thing of just, you know, just being behind, you know. Have you gone to, I don't know the last time you walked into a Chase Bank is, but Chase Bank has slowly remodeled all of their branches to have a new kind of bulletproof, like sort of polymer that they're all standing behind. It's sort of awesome, actually. I found myself the other day, I was standing in line, and I tried to do everything sort of online or you know, over the phone or whatever. I try not to like go into the bank if I don't have to. But I had to, I don't know, I had to, there was some issue with some check or whatever, and I had to go in and like get it taken care of. And it was one of those things where you realize that you actually can't ask too many questions about it because then it looks like you're casing the joint. But they had just come in and they had removed all of the old bulletproof glass and they had installed new bulletproof glass that was much thinner, but I could tell by the muffling action it had on the teller's voice that it was much stronger and thicker, even that it was denser, even though it was actually thinner. So it took up less space, but it seemed like it was actually a stronger, denser material. And I wanted to ask a lot of questions about it, but I just knew if I did that, then the next thing I knew, it's like they would be just throwing me in the parking lot, you know, and cuffing me and taking me downtown because it would look like I was trying to figure out how to rob the joint. But
somebody would walk over and say, "So, excuse me, sir, you seem to have a lot of questions about the bank.
An inordinate
interest.
Perhaps
we could answer those for you in the back."
Exactly, where they give me the option of the chips or the hammer. And so that's, yeah, but it's like I always walk into banks, and the first thing I do when I'm standing in a, especially if it's a place I haven't been before, I compulsively look around to see where all of the cameras are. You know, not that I'm really going to rob the place, but I have this sort of fascination with the idea of video cameras in banks and where they're placed, because I automatically assume that all those cameras are just fake, that they're decoys, and that the real cameras are actually so small that they probably can't be seen. Mm. And those cameras are simply there for guys who rob the bank, you know, so they will get rid of those, or they'll, you know, paint over them or whatever it is, that, you know, just snap the cables or something, not realizing that they are, in fact, disconnecting cameras that don't matter at all. So I always make it a point to try to find out where the real cameras actually are. So if I am ever on, the upshot of this is that if you ever see me on any sort of bank surveillance tape, I am going to be the most suspicious-looking guy in the world, because every time I'm in a bank, I'm constantly like looking at the thickness of the glass, and I'm carefully looking from one camera to the next, and then I'm kind of like leaning down to see how much space is like in the teller-like drawer and what could be slid through there. Here is Don Taylor.
On June 18th, a 26-year-old man named Beryl Oliveira told a police officer that he'd been, quote, ripped off by a homosexual. He said $125 had been taken, but declined to go into specifics. He pointed to a house and said a man in a black dress who lives there took his money. Sheriff's deputies ended up... He encountered the sheriff's deputies on Southeast Clayton Street and Southeast Evergreen Avenue, pointed to the house where he said the man with the black dress lived. The deputy knocked on a door, and a man in a black dress came to the front. The deputy asked the dress-wearing man whether he knew the man who had pointed him out. The affidavit says he stated that he did and that he was there every day but did not live there. He said he hangs out in the yard and drinks beer all the time. He was clueless about any missing money. And this is from the affidavit. He then showed me his purse, and he only had a few dollars in it. The man in the black dress said Oliveira pounded on the door for more than an hour. He asked that the deputies get him to stop because, quote, all of the residents have to get up early for work.
Let's walk through this again. A guy goes to the cops and says, there's a gay man in that house. He ripped me off for $150. They knock on the door. The man in the house, who's wearing a dress,
right,
comes to the door and says, what do you want? And they go, hey, this guy says you ripped him off for $150. Dress guy. Dress guy says, I don't know what he's talking about, but he just hangs out on my lawn all the time and drinks. Would you get him also to quit knocking on the door early in the morning because we're all sleeping?
Right. So the deputy went back and spoke to Oliveira, the guy who hangs out in the yard. And he said, I told him his story was not adding up. And then he said, well, he was going to trade sexual favors for the money.
Ah.
But he felt he did not get his money's worth, and he wanted his money back.
So it's not that he didn't get sexual favors at all. He just didn't get his money's worth.
Right.
It's like he paid for a quarter and he only got an eighth.
Right. He also told the deputy that he'd been using cocaine and drinking. And a breath test measured his blood alcohol at 3 times the legal limit drive. The sheriff said, I then explained that he received services and that he would not likely get his money back. I explained the importance of not conducting this type of business. The deputy took Oliveira home, and within minutes, dispatchers said Oliveira was calling 911 over and over again.
Okay. This, by the way, is why cops, I think, eventually snap and just tase people. Because here, first of all, the guy is drunk and he's high on a controlled substance, and he's calling the cops to complain that his prostitution was unsatisfying.
Right.
That he solicited a guy for sex and didn't get his money's worth. And the cop doesn't actually arrest him for any of these things.
No.
The cop just says, Don't do these things in the future, please. Yeah. I'm going to take you home now, and let's just cool it on the coke and the hooking. And then,
instead of being grateful, the guy then starts just calling 911, and eventually they find him at a grocery store near his home, walking around the store, yelling on his cell phone at 911 dispatchers.
Excellent. So there you go.
At which point he was arrested for disorderly intoxication and misuse of the 911 system.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, it just doesn't pay. There's no benefit to trying to do the right thing. If you just try to cut a guy a little slack, they take a mile on that.
There is a mugshot, by the way, of Mr. Oliveira, if you would like to see what he looks like.
Does he look like the sort of man that has to pay for sex?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, I'll get that posted. That'll be at rickemerson.com/pictures, visual age for June 23rd.
Also, he looks a little baffled at what is going on.
I don't understand. I like this seems to be a relatively frequent phenomenon of people calling the cops or calling 911 to complain about being unsatisfied with some sort of illicit transaction.
Yeah.
Like the guy told me he was going to sell me X amount of weed and really it's just, you know, something. Or the guy told me it was heroin, but it's cut with all this baby laxative or whatever.
My roommate stole my cocaine.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
Let's do entertainment.
Here is your entertainment news for, wait for it. There we go. For Thursday, June 23rd at Legion of News.
The Amazing Spider-Man co-stars Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone are dating, reports Us Weekly. They got close during filming and have been hooking up.
What was that
said
sound?
A source.
What was that for?
That was me having to use the phrase hooking up.
Oh, yeah.
Garfield split up with his girlfriend and Raising Hope actress Shannon Woodward last month. Stone went her separate ways with 28-year-old boyfriend Kieran Culkin. They started dating last fall.
Wait, so is he also the Social Network guy?
Andrew Garfield?
He's Eduardo Saverin?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And Emma Stone is just recently started in Easy A. She's kind of awesome.
Okay.
Is that Emma Stone?
I don't know.
I might be thinking of someone else. Oh, damn it. Anyway, Glenn Campbell has Alzheimer's disease. He diagnosed with it 6 months ago. The 75-year-old Campbell said, "I still love making music, and I still love performing my fans." Performing my fans?
It's an early onset.
Yeah. "I'd like to thank them for sticking with me through thick and thin." Best known for the hit Wichita Lineman, Campbell starred with John Wayne and Kim Darby in the Western True Grit.
By the way, Glenn Campbell will be putting out that same statement next month and about every 6 weeks thereafter on a staggering basis.
Spider-Man actor Tobey Maguire is being sued by bankruptcy trustees over allegations he took money from a convicted con man in illegal poker games. Hedge fund manager Bradley Ruderman, who is in jail for operating a Ponzi scheme, claims he lost over $300,000 to Maguire in illegal poker games in 2007 and 2008. Well, so what? You're playing poker, you lost at poker.
That's kind of how that works.
You're gonna sue people for winning at poker?
That's just being a baby.
People like me suing your wife for taking my money every time we play poker.
Except it wouldn't be you, it'd be Aaron.
Yeah. Actor George Clooney has split up with his girlfriend of 2 years. I don't know if it was you and I that talked about this or what it was, but she recently made a statement in a magazine that she really looked forward to being, she wanted to be married and have children, and she looked forward to it someday. And it was like, oh, now count down to the Clooney breakup.
And then immediately, he just read that article and he's like, well, got to broom her out.
Apparently so, because they've broken up.
Yeah.
Canales and Clooney said in a joint statement, "We are not together anymore. It's very difficult and very personal, and we hope everyone can respect our privacy."
Yeah. Now, that's an inside thought. You don't say that out loud.
Yeah. Jackass member Ryan Dunn had a blood alcohol concentration of 0.196%. The legal state limit is 0.08 when he crashed his Porsche in Westchester, Pennsylvania. The initial crash reconstruction investigation determined that Mr. Dunn's vehicle was traveling between 132 and 140 miles per hour at the time of the collision.
So it had, so he, I can never tell how, math is hard. So he was drunk?
He was quite drunk.
Quite drunk. He was hella, he was Ebert drunk.
He was very drunk.
Yes.
And driving 135 miles an hour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seems like you can do, if you're drunk but only going 3 miles an hour, that's one thing. Or if you're going 100 miles an hour but stone cold sober, you know, that's something else. If you're doing both of those things, then really, I think all your friends, they have their right revoked to complain about Ebert's Twitter postings about you.
Paris Hilton and her boyfriend Cy Waits have broken up. In a recent interview on Lopez Tonight, whatever that is, Hilton said the relationship ran its course. I have to admit, I am shocked to hear this. Shocked. because I read an interview with her like not a month or so ago where she said that this guy was the love of her life and this was a relationship that was really going to last.
Well, we were hoping those crazy kids would make it work.
I'm stunned. Octomom Nadia Suleiman will star in an upcoming celebrity dating show called Celebridate. I was lucky enough to be invited to be part of it, she said. I have not watched TV in almost a decade. Who has time, really, when you have 17 children?
Seriously, who would possibly date a woman whose uterus is like a hydra?
Who would ever enter there?
No, I mean, that is a lair from which no man emerges unscathed.
Plus, it must be cavernous at this point.
That's not
she
so much...
She has 14 children.
Not so much sex as it is just spelunking.
Yeah. God. I mean, it's like throwing a flashlight into a mine shaft.
This sex is really satisfying. It's the cheapest joke, I'm sorry.
She says the 35-year-old mother of 14 children claims she joined the show to try her hand at love. I've never dated. This is actually the first time I have dated in my life. I've had one boyfriend, and it was very fascinating to me.
Here's a dumb question. Do you suppose she's on birth control or, like, has had her tubes, like, not just tied, but, like, incinerated in a bin somewhere?
Yeah, you just, like, cut her open and go in there with a flamethrower.
I mean, that's
my God.
You gotta salt that entire thing just so that nothing may find purchase.
Dear Lord. Jason Patrick will star in the FX series Powers. The project's based on the comic book series by Portland resident Brian Michael Bendis.
Excellent.
It's actually a very, very, very good comic series.
And I like Jason Patrick. I keep waiting for that guy. He doesn't seem to have ever really found, like, the right sort of vehicle. I mean, he's had... Because, I mean, what was the biggest thing? Because he did the... He first came to prominence in Rush.
And, the Lost Boys.
Lost Boys, Rush, and then... There was sort of a third part of that trifecta. He was in Sleepers.
And then he was Julia Roberts' friend when she was going through her probably breakup. Well, the breakup with Kiefer Sutherland that was definitely not her leaving the country to go clean up.
Do you mean in real life or
in
a movie?
Yes, no, in real life.
Okay. Yeah. So he did those three. He had Lost Boys, and then he did Rush and Sleepers almost back-to-back. And then I don't know what he's sort of done since then film wise, but he's a guy I'm always whenever I see him, I always kind of think I hope he's doing something good. So
yeah,
I mean I kind of pull for him.
He's a good actor. He's a nice looking fella, and he seems like a nice enough guy. You know, Powers. By the way, I am not the world's biggest comic book person, but Powers is awesome. And Brian Michael Bendis does live here in Portland, and I have bumped into him on occasion at film screenings and stuff like that. David Walker will bring him to screenings and things occasionally. And it's everything I can do to not, like, just go, I love Powers.
It's awesome.
You know, I've managed to have conversations with him, one in which I've discovered that he loved the Gilmore Girls. And I was, like, kind of giddy about that. But I've been so good about not being a Powers fangirl because Powers is great. And anyway, it's centers on a homicide detective who works on cases that involve superhumans. Patrick told Entertainment Weekly, in my movies, I've always tried to find compelling stories and primal characters that will carry you through them. It has been increasingly more difficult to sell stories via movies these days. Studios are more interested in selling a weekend than telling a story. Powers is unlike anything I've ever seen, and FX is up to the challenge.
Excellent. Fantastic. Well, FX is, I mean, they're, you know, they got a real strong track record right now. I mean, they're second probably only to AMC, so.
Powers is kind of everything that Heroes could have been if it didn't blow so completely and horribly.
I'm so glad that I made the decision not to watch Heroes at all, because everybody I know who started watching it, they it was like your thing yesterday talking about the Twin Peaks, sort of, in that they ultimately, except that they ultimately regretted watching it at all, because it trended downward so badly and so quickly.
And Ron Howard, who last helmed the comedy The Dilemma, will direct a film adaptation of the Mad Magazine comic series Spy vs. Spy.
I saw this yesterday on Ain't It Cool, and somebody made the best remark on the message board about Ron Howard, which I think echoes some things you said. They said, Ron Howard seems to be a nice guy, but directing really isn't his thing, is it? In that he's a serviceable...
Yeah.
He's
a solid, not...
Unsurprising director.
Bad, But yeah, you don't think back on any like Ron Howard movie and go, ooh, remember that iconic scene?
Yeah.
It's just like, you have to go all the way, I think, back to Splash to think of anything that has like really memorable scenes.
It'd be, I think if he, you know, Ron Howard is who you get if you want the world's best directed made for television film. Mm-hmm. You know, like a Lifetime movie that really hits it out of the park. Mm-hmm. But the idea of just doing a movie on Spy versus Spy, which for those who, you know, like the one person who may not know what that is, it's just like a four-panel black-and-white comic strip from Mad Magazine, which has very few moving parts. I mean, which is fine, because yeah, it works well as a comic, but I...
One spy does something to the other spy to, like, blow him up or chop him in half, and then he runs away giggling.
It's itchy and scratchy, but with spies. Yeah. I mean, and not a mouse and a cat. I mean, and I think itchy and scratchy is probably based somewhat loosely on Spy versus Spy. So the question is he going to try to actually take that premise and expand it into a film, or... is he just going to get some lame-ass, terrible espionage film with bad jokes and stick the Spy versus Spy label on it? Not unlike how Mad Television sketch comedy show and put the Mad logo on it.
Yeah, I'm assuming yes.
Yeah,
yes,
that's probably
that's
what the
latter. It will be.
Yeah.
And then finally, the J.K. Rowling finally announced what her Pottermore interactive website was all about, that everybody had been wondering what that was going to be. And really, it's just a way to pimp audiobooks and ebooks in multiple languages that will be exclusively available digitally through this website. Rowling is one of the world's most powerful authors, and she's bypassing established online retailers like Amazon and the books will be compatible with popular e-readers, including the Kindle, Sony's Reader, and Apple's iPad. But instead of working with like Amazon and iTunes and Who's It and all these other people, you can only buy the stuff directly from them. And it's like, yeah, and good for her.
Well, that makes sense because I mean, if you're a brand name, I mean, especially for digital distribution, I mean, it's one thing for selling physical books where it's like you got to have, you know, you can't be opening J.K. Rowling stores everywhere. But if you're selling stuff online and you're your own brand, that really is the only, I mean, that would be the only thing stopping everybody from doing that. I mean, it's like how AC/DC, you know, you can't buy AC/DC stuff at iTunes. The only place you can get AC/DC music online is at acdc.com. Because their whole point was like, you know, everybody knows who we are. Everybody knows how to find us. Come buy it if you want. We don't need iTunes to market for us. We don't need promotion.
Yeah. And there's also going to be some sort of interactive storytelling aspect to it so that you can go in there and you can click on things and interact with stuff. There's actually the site is going to follow the first, right now at the beginning, it's going to follow the plot line of the first book. And there's going to be like different click-through interactive things you can do. And she said, it's a way I can be creative in a medium that didn't exist when I started the books back in 1990. And she also said that they've had a lot of requests over the years for online games, but she wanted to pull it back to reading and have it focus on the books.
Every time you go to the site, will it take the first 5 minutes and go through your history items and tell you what you did before?
Yes, and you have to like, before it'll let you play, you have to like stare into the hat. And it decides, like, you know, what house you have to be in.
Wait, hold on. Where's my remote control? Oh, it's too late. I was gonna remotely fire the end of the program. Wait, hold on. Here we go. Fantastic. There we go. And with that, we bring down the curtain on another episode of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, you can get it later on today via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or at Cascadia.fm. Next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program with a Cannibal Watch, Monkey Watch, Taser Watch, and the top five Weird Al Yankovic-style parodies of all time. That is coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer, Bruce Agler, chief of staff, Cheryl Kanakoa. Thank you for joining us. We will see you again tomorrow, Friday at noon, for another episode of Legion of News. Have a safe and satisfying Thursday, won't you?